Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. So when I've been considering all the things that are going on in the world today, it seems like we're going through a lot and been through a lot. But as I go back and I look at certain Bible characters and I've seen some of the things that they experienced and some of the things that they went through and think, well, maybe we're not going through as much as we think we are. Think about the story of Job, and it just humbles me how a guy would be able to say, even though they slay me, I will still trust in him. And I think about some of the other Bible characters like David throughout his life, all the things he experienced. I think about Joseph and his life and all the different things he experienced. But I think over the span of the 110 years that Joshua was alive, was one of those guys that experienced a lot of different interesting things. You can say the same thing about Moses, but Joshua had the opportunity to actually go into the promised land and actually see God work, and some of the great victories was there. Here in Joshua chapter number 24, Joshua is saying goodbye. He's giving his farewell address in some ways to the nation of Israel. And he's telling them, and there's a famous verse in there, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And he's telling them, look, you need to make a choice. But the interesting thing is, in this story, Joshua tells them to make a choice. They make a choice. They make the right choice. And Joshua says, yeah, I know you. You'll say this now, you have this desire, you have this intention, but it's never going to turn out to be a real commitment. So the title of this morning's message is Turning Desires into Commitments. Turning desires into commitments. Or it could be turning something you're anticipating doing. You know, an intention maybe is a good word too. Turning your intentions into commitments. I know Mr. Humbert sings a song and says, it's my desire to serve the Lord, and that's where it begins, but that's just the beginning. There are a lot of people who make a decision and say, hey, look, I want to serve the Lord. Hey, I'm planning on, reading my Bible through this year. I'm planning on praying an hour each and every single day, or I'm planning on giving out X number of tracts, or I'm planning on raising my kids right. Faithful to church, or I'm planning on tithing, or I'm planning on, and there's a lot of desires that we have in our spiritual lives, which is a good thing. But how many times do those desires never become commitments? How many times do those desires never translate into a decision? And I think that's probably true in many of our lives. And we look at it and say, yeah, I have a great desire to do something for God. I have a great desire to be used by God. I have a great desire to help bring revival to our nation. These are things that I know I need to do and want to do. And even though it's a desire or an intention, it just for some reason never becomes a true commitment. So Joshua is here and he gives him some wonderful things here to help us understand how to make our desires and turn them into commitments. Now, I think if we think about Joshua and think about some of the things he went through, he was born in slavery. If you go back and you look at his age, he would have been born in slavery. He would have lived in slavery for a number of years, up into not only his teenage years, probably into his young adult life, into maybe the 30 to 40 age group. He would have been in slavery, but then he would have seen the 10 plagues, experienced some of the plagues himself. And then he would have been there when they were trapped in between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, and he would have seen God's hand just pull back the Red Sea. Man, that's one of the ones I would have liked to see. Of course, I would love to see any of the miracles that God did back then, but to imagine that those 10 plagues, all those things happen, and then you go down the Red Sea, and you get out to Mount Sinai and see the how God manifests himself on that mountain, and got the 10 commandments, and then you go through and they get to their promised land, and he's one of the 12 spies. He goes in, he stands with Caleb, and those are the only two that says, hey, we should go in. We are well able, more than able to conquer these people. And Moses didn't even get to do that. He came back, and you know, they talk about stoning Moses, and they refuse to go into the promised land, and then he's there for those 40 years wandering around in the desert. The wilderness. Then he has the privilege, and during this time he's worn a lot of hats. He went from slave to being a servant of Moses to being a captain of the army that one time especially, and then a spy. And now he's bringing up to where he gets to become the leader of the nation of Israel. And I know a lot of people think, ooh, that would be a great job. You don't know your Old Testament very well. That would have been a pain to have to put up with all those murmuring, complaining people. And Joshua, we like to think his heart and his spirit was with the Lord, and that he would have been listening to the same murmuring, the same complaining, and probably would have been one of those people out there saying, come on, don't you get it? Don't you see it? Remember what God did at the Red Sea? Remember what God did here? Remember what God did here? Remember what God did here? You can trust him. Trust him with your life. And then he goes into the promised land, and was he perfect? No. Or you remember when the catastrophe happened at Ai, he goes and he's on his face before God, and he's just crying out to God, telling God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? And it's not an exact quote, but God pretty much says, what are you doing down on your face? He says, there's sin in the camp. You need to get rid of the sin. You know, why are you just down there moaning and groaning? Do something about it. And they found out what the sin was, and then they went and took care of Ai, and then God used him to lead the people with so many wonderful, amazing victories as they began to possess the promised land. What a wonderful story. What an amazing thought that was there, the story of Joshua. So Joshua, at the end of his life, he's there, he's experienced all these things from slave all the way up to leader to probably living very meagerly to the point of being now the leader of this great nation, and he's saying goodbye. And inside this, and in this farewell message, he says to them, he says, I know you, and I know that you have this interest and this desire, but you haven't made it a commitment yet. I know your heart. You get to the book of Judges, just a few chapters later on, it says that the nation of Israel, that they no longer knew God, that this generation had passed on the scene, that the Joshua had lived, and the generation that had lived with after Joshua, the elders and leaders, and he says, and the next generation knew not God, nor his mighty power and his mighty works, as in Judges chapter number 2. I know it's not an exact quote there, but that's the idea there. He went from possessing the promised land to the point where they no longer knew who the true God was, and that's why you see that cycle in the book of Judges. They kept on forgetting who God was, and God kept on reminding him. They kept on going into sin, and God kept on delivering them. Thankful for a patient and merciful and long-suffering God. But this morning, what I'm interested in is many of us would say, I would love to be able to have that testimony that Joshua had. I would have loved to be able to experience some of the things that Joshua had gone through. But if you go back and you look at Joshua's life, it wasn't all a bed of roses. See, as a slave, as a young person at least, wandering in the desert for 35 years of a bunch of murmuring people, and wandering out in that wilderness. Over and over, there's different things, but he remains faithful. And he says this at the end. He says, we'll start here, and we'll look here what it says in verse number 15. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think most of us would say, I want to have that relationship. I want to have that commitment. I don't want it to just be a desire. I want it to be something that is truth. I don't want it just no longer. I'm tired of making commitments to God. I'm tired of having just these desires and never translating into actions. And here Joshua tells him some different things. We're going to get to that in a little while. But let's go ahead and read for a few minutes. Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse number 13. Verses 1 through 12, he begins to give an explanation of where they came from. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Abraham's kids. He talks about how they were in Egypt and how God delivered them. Pretty much what he was saying to them, God's been really good to you. You would not be a nation if it was not for God. God is the one that made it happen. And I know that America is not the Israel, Israel is not the America of today or whatever. I know that there's two separate things, two separate plans for that. But you know what? America wouldn't be where it is today if it was not for God. America is a great nation because of God and because people who love the Lord that helped plant this nation and the Christian heritage it has. Here in verse number 13, we're going to pick up. And Joshua is just told in verses 1 through 12, look, you're here because God brought you here. Verse 13, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat, ye eat. So he's saying, all these blessings you have, they have all come from God. Then he says, now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He says this, so he gives them, and in that verse we have the different ways of how to make our desire into a commitment. Verse number 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he says, if you think it's too much, if you think it's wrong to have to serve God, he says, choose you this day. He says, don't play games. He says, make a choice today. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve idols? He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He says, whether it's the old gods or even the gods that you dwell with today, the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, look, I've made my commitment. He says, not only have I made this commitment for me, I made this commitment for my family too. Look at the response. If you would read this response, you would think that this is a nation that's on fire for God and is definitely going to serve God and it's going to be felt for generations to come. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we pass. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And so you see that response there. It's like, yeah, of course. It'd be stupid for us not to. Look at all the things God has done. Look at Joshua's response. Joshua just doesn't pat him on the head and says, that's great. I know you're going to be great. That's what you hear at many churches today. Oh, yeah, wonderful commitment. Hey, everything's going to be easy now on. It's going to be a bed of roses. No, that's not what Joshua says. He tells him something. He reminds him something here in verse number 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He says to them, I know you. I live with you. I've been with you. I've been with your parents and your grandparents. I've seen you. I've heard your murmuring. I've heard you complaining. Now, these are mostly younger people because of the whole generations that passed off that was 20 years and older here. But he looks at them. He says, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He's saying to them, there's some things in your life that needs to change. If you want this desire to become a commitment, there's something that needs to change over here. What you're doing now is not serving God the way you need to. And then he continues on. He says in verse number 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he have done you good. And he says, look, don't fool yourselves. You cannot continue to live this same way and say that you're serving God. He says, it's going to harm you. It's going to harm your work. It's going to harm you as a nation. And Joshua said unto them in verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. They said, no, don't get me wrong. We want to serve God. We will serve the Lord. We're going to do it. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord, God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute, an ordinance in Shechem. Now, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Now, in this story today, I want you to see some things. I want you to understand some things. It's more than just having a desire. It's more than just intending on serving the Lord. You got to do something and get that desire that you hear when you hear good music or when you hear good preaching or when you're reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit of God's working in your heart about, hey, I need to do this. I need to change that. Somehow we got to get from this moment of, hey, I want to serve God to the point that I am serving God. And Joshua in the middle there said, hey, wake up here. What you're doing right now is not serving the Lord. This is not going to cut it. You might say it, you might desire it, you might want it, you might intend to do it, but there's some things you need to change before you're ever going to truly make it a commitment. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for how patient you are, how kind you are, how much you truly do love us. And the verses at the beginning of the chapter reminds us how good you've been to Israel, and Lord, you've been so good to us too. Lord, I pray that the message speak to my heart. And Lord, it speak to everyone's heart in a powerful way. I think many of us would have this, if not all of us would say, there's been times in our lives where we decided and we had we desired and we intended to do something, but it never translated into being a commitment. Help us to learn from this godly man that was used in a wonderful way by God. Talking to this nation, explaining to this nation what it's going to take our desires and make them into a commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things. The first thing I want you to think about before we get to how to do that, the first thing I want you to think about is Joshua reminds them how good God was to them. Joshua reminds them how good God was to them. And you see that in verse number 13. He looks at them and he says, I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. He's looking at them and says, all this stuff you have right now, you didn't do anything to get it. Says because many years ago, God had made a promise to Abraham, and that promise to Abraham, he is beginning to fulfill through you guys. So I've given you this promised land. This is a possession that you have possessed. And he says, God's been good to you. And he reminds them in verses 1 through 12 how their land began, how their nation began. And he's saying, look, this is a good God. Now, I want you to understand, number one, is God's been good to us. God has been good to us, and I know some people have this wrong view of God, some people have this wrong idea who God is, but God has been good to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 4, oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God and how good God has been to us and how God is merciful, how God is gracious, and how God sent his son to this world to die for our sins that leads us to understand that we are sinners and in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ died for our sins. God's been really good to us. And sometimes people don't see that. Sometimes people don't realize it. Sometimes people will say, what about all the war? What about all the upheaval? What about the virus? What about all the different things that sin has caused in this world? All the different things sin has manifested itself in this world. But God, he loved us so much. He didn't just throw us away. Instead, God loved us so much that he sent his son down to die for us. I don't want to encourage you this morning. It's God that has been good to us and God that loves us and God that is willing that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God loves you. He wants to demonstrate his love and he wants to show how he can work in your power and your life. And I know it's not the main thought of the message today, but have you ever had a desire to become a Christian? Have you ever thought, hey, maybe someday I'll become a Christian. Maybe someday I'll be saved. Maybe someday. Now, today is a day of salvation. We do not know how long we have in this world. We talked about it, whether it was last week or a few weeks ago, that life is short. And because life is short, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And Christ could come back any moment or any time. Today is the day to get right. If you're not sure that you die, if you died today, that you would go to heaven, the Bible has a way. And the Bible shows you that God made a way so you could go to heaven. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put something off. God has been good to us, and God is good. So today, if you're not sure if you die today that you go to heaven in a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. We'd love to have you come forward, and we have somebody take a Bible and show you straight from the Scriptures how the Scriptures say you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Second thing, not only was Joshua reminding them how good God was to them, Joshua was reminding them how bad they were. Joshua was reminding them how bad they were. Now, maybe you're saying, Pastor, you're reading into that a little bit, and I can see why somebody might say that. And if you wanted to change the second point and say that they had the right desire, then you can do that. Because that was, I was trying to debate between the two, was, you know, they had the right desire. They did have the right desire. You read what it says in verses 16. They've been confronted in verse number 13. God's been good. You don't really own anything that you have. God just gave it to you. You didn't work for it. You didn't do any of this stuff. God delivered Jericho in your hands. God delivered Ai in your hands. God did all these different things. And after thinking about the goodness of God, their only response was, of course we're going to serve God. What other choice do we have but to serve God? But Joshua reminds them how bad they are. So look what it says here in verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt. They're saying all the right things from the house of bondage in which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So they begin, you see in verses 16, 17, 18, they say all the right things. You ever been around somebody who says the right things? I mean, I have. I've been around the people that says, yeah, I'm going to be at church. You know, if I had a dollar, if I had a quarter, if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me they were going to show up at church and they never did, I'd be a rich man financially. I'm a rich man, I think, because of the blessings of God. But at the same time, people say they have an intention, they want to, and that's where Paul was talking about in Romans chapter number 7. And I mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning, and talking about how he desired to do what's right. He says, now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He says, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He's saying, when I decide to do something that's right, when I decide to do something that's good, there is evil that's present with me. Earlier in that passage of scripture, he says, those good things that I wish I was doing, those are things I don't do. But the things I hate doing, things that I know that are wrong, those are the things I end up doing. And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He comes to the spot and he realizes there's a war going on in his side. There's a war going on in his heart. There's something that wants him to do what's right. There's something that gives him that desire. There's something that gives him those intentions to serve God. But there's something also that's present with him that's fighting against him. And there's a war in their heart. And the Bible says, whatever we yield ourselves to, that's what we become servants to. And Joshua knows this. Joshua's dealt with this. Joshua's made a decision. Hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not an easy decision. He says, yeah, you're saying all the right things. But he says in verse number 18, he says, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake him and you serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he have done you good. And the people said nay unto him, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And then Joshua says, you are witnesses. Verse 23, then he says something to him. He says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. They were saying, yes, we're going to serve the God. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to, yay, everything he says, we're going to be obedient. Joshua says, I know you. I know what's back in your tent. I know what you do on Monday. I know what you do on Tuesday. I know how you act. You call that serving God, but that's not truly serving the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, you need to get rid of something in your life. You need to get something out of your heart and get something out of your life. And the first thing he says to him, he says, look, this is how good God's been to you. Now, look at how bad you've been. Now, here's the third thing. You say you want to do what's right. Now, here's how to take those desires and make them into a commitment. Look what it says in verse number 14 and 15. This is verse 14, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. So here's a couple things. We'll start off with that. And he said, the first thing I want you to think about how to turn desires into a commitment, first thing you need to do is to fear the Lord. See, I think there is a world of a difference between a good desire, a good intention, and a true resolve that translates into a changed life. I think there's a huge difference between somebody having a good desire and to it becoming a changed part of our lives. How many of us have been here? How many of us have been at the altar? How many has been on this side? I desire to serve the Lord. It's my desire to serve the Lord. This is what I want to do. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop saying this. I'm going to start saying this. But it never translates into becoming a changed life. So here's the first thing. It's fear the Lord. I know a few weeks ago in our Sunday school classes, many of our Sunday school classes, we talked about the omnipresence of God. Talked about how he sees everything that we do and how that is a very comforting fact. But it also is a very convicting fact. It's convicting the fact that we don't want to sin because of the fact that it's God and we don't want to displease him. We don't want to do anything that's going to upset him. We love him. We value him so much. We don't want him to be disappointed. It's also comforting because of the fact that he sees us. He sees our struggles. He sees our pains. He sees our sorrows. He sees that the world's going through the virus. He sees all these crazy things that are happening. It's comforting because we know that we're in his presence and he loves us. But it's very convicting. But neither one of those things matter if it doesn't matter to us. It's not convicting to the man who says, so what? And that's what many unbelievers do. Who cares if God sees me? But unfortunately, that's where many Christians have come and gotten to do. I know God sees me, but I love my sin a little bit more. So I'm going to do my sin still. Because I know God's going to forgive me anyway. That is a sad place to be. Romans chapter number 3 puts it this way, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And we live in a world today that there are so many out there that are living like there's no fear of God before their eyes. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And when we say that you're standing in the presence of God and someday God will judge you, it doesn't matter. They don't fear the Lord. And that's for an unsaved person. That's something we have to help them understand that God's been good to them. And someday there's going to be a judgment. You should be afraid. You should be fearful. But the fear of the Lord that's for a believer and for a Christian is something that's completely different. As out of such a love and respect for God, we don't want to disappoint. We don't want to fail. And that's where wisdom starts. That's where it becomes from just a desire into a commitment is when we say, you know what, Lord, I fear you. I love you. I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint you. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail you. I am convicted because of the fact that you see me when I do these wrong things and it breaks my heart. It's like David when he says, when he talked about in Psalms chapter 51, to you and you only have I sinned. And I know it wasn't a perfect quote there. For some reason, my brain's not working today. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, talking about that sin with Bathsheba. And he was talking to the Lord. He got a heart here. He feared the Lord. He had a proper perspective of God. He understood if you're never ever going to make this desire into a commitment until you have the right perspective of God. If you can take God or leave God, then you don't have the right perspective. You're never going to make these spiritual desires into life-changing attributes or life-changing decisions until you learn how to fear him. Until you learn who he truly is, until you see him high and lifted up and someone who deserves our worship and someone who deserves our praise, and not just say it like they did. They said, of course, God forbid that we should forsake him and serve other gods, but they had other gods sitting in their tent. And we sit here and we sing songs and we make commitments, but we have other gods sitting at our house that we know we're going to go back to on Monday. It's never going to become a life-changing decision until it becomes that we have the proper perspective of him. The next thing, not only does it say that we're supposed to fear the Lord, we need to have a resolve and have a resolve to serve him. The second thing I want you to think about, you see this next phrase, and serve him in sincerity and truth. This word sincerity is referring to the entire. It's talking about being completely whole of heart, serving him with your whole heart. It means being real. It means there's no hint of saying one thing and doing something other. There is no intention that the resolve or commitment would not happen. And that's exactly what's happening here in verses 16 and 17. They're making the right things. They're saying the right things. And most churches, most people would pat them right on the head. good job, you made the right choice, and send them right back to their idols. That's not what Joshua's doing. Joshua says, look, there needs to be some sincerity here. There needs to be some truth here. He says, there's too much hypocrisy already. Now, don't get me wrong, no believer is perfect. I'm thankful that it said that about those things in Romans chapter number 7, one of the greatest Christians probably to ever live, the Apostle Paul saying, you know, the things I want to do, those are the things I struggle with. The things I don't want to do, it seems like I'm always doing them. He's the old wretched man that I am. There is a battle going on inside. No Christian is going to be perfect. But when one person is saying one thing and doing something completely different, they're being hypocritical. And what he's saying here is you need to have your whole heart given over to him. We need to serve him in sincerity and truth. Joshua learned to serve God completely. You can go back to Joshua chapter number 1 and verses 6 through 9 as a wonderful call of God and about meditating on the scriptures. And yes, I know that we fail, but the one who refuses to appear to understand that truth is truth and that it cannot live any other way, they're going to end up failing. They're not serving sincerely. Let me say, I'm concerned with our next generation. I see young people right now, and I see young people who love the Lord, and they're going to go off to college. But when they turn 25 to 35, between that ages, they start questioning things. They start being challenging there. And they begin questioning things they saw growing up. Begin questioning people that were older in their churches. They begin saying, well, you remember when this person was this way and they would say this, but they would live a different way. They would say one thing out of one side of the mouth and say something else out of the other side and do something completely different. You know, what the world does not need to see is fake Christianity. The world does not need to see hypocrisy. The world needs to see people who are genuine and people that are real and people that are sincere and people that are trying to live for the Lord and to people that are trying to live for God and to people that are trying to serve the Lord. And yes, they make mistakes, but they own up for their mistakes. They don't say, I love you at one point in time and then turn around and stab you in your back another time. I can tell you kids that have gone to our church, have grown up since I've been as a youth pastor and as a pastor that would sit there and that aren't even serving the Lord today, that aren't even in church sometimes today. Not all, obviously, but some would be like, it wasn't real. They would say something in the class as a teacher, they say something in a church, but they didn't live, and I tried to express to them, we're all humans, we all fail. You have to stand before God someday because of what you did and because of what you say and decisions that you make. But they saying that when they see how people have lived their lives and it just doesn't equal up. They say over here, it's my desire, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they try to tell us to do one thing, but they're not willing to do something else. They're not willing to work on their sin. They're willing to pick on me about this little part of my life, but they can't even deal with the huge thing that everyone else knows about in their own life. They want to be critical. They want to be hypercritical, but they don't want to be sincere and say, you know what? Let me pray for you. Let me do what I can to help you. They would be like the Pharisees of the day that would sit there and so enriched with their doctrines and their laws that they would sit there and condemn but never try to help. And Joshua's saying to them, don't you dare say you're going to go back and serve the Lord and make this commitment when you got God's waiting for you back in your tents that you're going to. Now, be sincere. Be real as a Christian. Parents, be real with your kids. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Let them see that because they're going to know someday if you don't truly love them. And yes, I understand. Sometimes a young person helps bring their kids, their parents to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And be sincere that we know that we all struggle and that we all have things that we fight against. And yes, we fail, but we repent. Remember, it's the contrite and broken spirit that God can bless. And that's what Joshua is saying here. I hear you saying the right things. This is what I want to hear you say. If you didn't say these things, I would be worried. But remember, you cannot serve the Lord this way. And you cannot continue on this way. Be sincere in your Christian walk. Don't just say one thing. Don't just teach one thing and go live something different. Instead, do your best with the Holy Spirit of God's help to live what you're preaching, to live what you're saying, and to live the advice that you're giving. The third thing, not only does he say serve him in sincerity and truth, the third thing says put away the things that need to be put away. Put away the things that need to be put away. And that's what he says in verse 14. He says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. In Egypt. And he's talking about old battles that they had before. Or, and then he continues on, he says, on the other side of the flood, and you served in Egypt. But then later on down, it says in verse 15, it seemed evil to unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of flood, or the gods, the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. So he's saying, whether it's some type of old thing that your parents had problem with, and obviously they're talking about before the flood, which was way back before that, that old struggle or a new struggle. Whether it's something that was way back then or something that's around you today that may be new. He says, you need to put those things away. Because there are things that we struggle with that are old, isn't there? I mean, some of us struggle with the same thing that we struggle with as a teenager. Some of us struggle with the same thing that we struggle with as a young adult or as a child. But he says, there's still going to be new choices. There are going to be new chances because we didn't drive out all the people, because we didn't drive out all the Amorites like we were supposed to. There's gods that are going to be all around us today. You're going to be facing new temptations. Whether it's an old temptation or new temptation, get rid of it. Don't have anything. And he said, put it away. And he says, stop messing with the sin. Stop playing with the sin. Stop covering the sin. Stop saying it's okay. He says, just get rid of it. If we ever want to take it from being a desire or an intention and make it a commitment, a life-changing decision, we have to learn to fear the Lord, and we have to be sincere about it. And if there's something that's in our heart and something that's in our life that needs to be put away, let's put it away. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So what the scripture is saying here is that they need to turn from their way. See, this action must accompany the desire. Action must accompany the intention. It is one thing to have a desire and God work in your heart and speak to your heart, which, praise the Lord, he does that. And say, we need to make this change. But there's a big difference between it becoming a life-changing experience. We must allow action that happens. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which should us easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. He says, look, there's some weights that need to be put away. There's some sin that needs to be taken out. And he says, I know that you got those gods sitting back in your tents that you've been worshiping. They need to be put away. Whether it's the gods of the past or the gods that you see that's new to you, get rid of those. And the fourth thing, a way that you take a intention and make it a commitment or a desire into a life-changing experience, you fear the Lord. You do it sincerely. You put things away that need to be put away. And then you make the choice. The pastor, you had to make a choice every single time. That's the point. He said, choose you this day. He says in verse number 15, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, pastor, what do you mean make the choice? It's going to be a daily choice. Spot in the Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I protest by rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. It's going to be a daily choice. It's not going to be something that you can, and that's what Joshua is, just being fair. Once again, this guy's in his hundreds. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to pass on the scene. Doesn't care if anybody really likes him or not. He's preaching, and he's giving this message. Obviously, he wants people to like him. Obviously, he wants people to respond, but he cares more about the message getting across than what people think about him. And he says, look, you're saying all the right things, but there's a commitment that's involved. You made this choice today, but you're going to have to make this choice every day. And not only are you going to have to make this choice every day, you're going to have to make this choice multiple times in a day. It's going to have to be something that happens day in and day out. It is a choice that happens to have every day. And then he says, choose you this day. Would we like to make the choice for you? Of course I'd like to make the choice for you. Because it's easy for me to make the choice for you, because I don't have to do it. I have to make the choice for myself. I have to make the choice every day that God works in my heart as I read the scriptures and I hear songs and I pray, and God says, this is what you need to put away and this is what you need to add on. And I have to make that decision each and day. I got to choose every day. I'm going to fear the Lord. I want to love him. I don't want to disappoint him. He's God. He's been good to me. And I got to be sincere. It can't be, okay, Lord, yes, I want to make this choice. I want to make this decision. No, I need to be sincere. I can't just saying it one moment and then turn around knowing that I'm going to go back and worship another God. I need to be sincere. I need to take that God and I need to put it away. I need to get rid of it and I need to make that choice. I need to choose you this day. I need to make this decision and I need to realize it's not just a decision for today or for this moment. It's a decision when I get out in my car. It's a decision when I get to my house. It's a decision when I go to my work or my school. It's a decision for every single day of my life. And that's why Joshua was looking at them and saying, ye cannot serve the Lord. You wouldn't hear somebody say that. Today, people make commitments. I'm surrendering myself to the Lord. You wouldn't see a preacher look at them and say, you can't serve the Lord. That's what he's saying. You can't serve the Lord, because he knew their heart. He knew what they were living like. It'd be like, you're not going to be able to do it this way. You're not going to be able to say, you're not going to truly serve the Lord with this in your life. You need to put something away. Don't even say it if you're not going to be willing to be sincere about it. Get a good understanding of who God is. Then be sincere about this desire. Now put away what needs to be put away. And then choose to do it. Day after day after day. It is a daily choice. And it is a personal choice. Songwriter wrote one day, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Joshua decided for himself. He says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And Joshua had to make that decision all the way back in Egypt. Maybe as a young person. Maybe he didn't have a household back then. But he made that decision when he went through the plagues, went through the Red Sea, saw Mount Sinai, when he stayed in the tabernacle after Moses left. When he was one of those spies, it would have been easy to yoke up with the other 10 guys. Would have been easy to quit. Would have been easy over all these years. But he says, you know what? I made this choice. And I'm giving this message to you. I've been through all these things in my life. He says, and God's been really good to me. God's been really good to you. Now, you got these things in your heart and your desire. You really do want to live for the Lord. You really do want to do things spiritually. Of course, who wouldn't want to help their family? Who wouldn't want to help their country? Who wouldn't want to see people saved? Who wouldn't want to make a difference in the world? Now, how do I get that desire into becoming a life-changing experience? I learned to fear the Lord. I need to be sincere about it in every part of my life. Not a hint of hypocrisy. I need to put away whatever needs to be put away. And I need to make the choice and decision daily and for myself. This morning, I know many of your hearts. I know how my heart is. Great desires. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's right. But I need to get that desire to become a decision or a commitment. Somehow I need to get from that intention to a life-changing experience. There's a world of difference between just having a desire to serve the Lord to letting it change your life. Fear him. Be sincere. Put away what needs to be put away. And continue to make the choice each and every day. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to encourage you here. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, God has been good to you. He loves you. Not willing that you should perish. He was willing to give his son up for you. And if you don't know him today, you can.